All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, first four verses. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you read the two letters of the Apostle Peter, you will discover a particular word that he's very fond of using. It was Peter's favorite word. It occurs seven times in his epistles, five times in his first epistle, and twice in his second epistle. The word is found in the passage I just read to you, precious, the word precious, and that's the word that occurred in Psalm 126 and Isaiah 13 and here in 2 Peter chapter 1, the word precious. In verse 1, Peter describes faith as precious. And later in verse 4, he describes promises as precious. Precious faith leads to the enjoyment of God's precious promises. You can't have one without the other. Precious faith and precious promises are inseparably linked. Notice how the author of Hebrews connects faith and promises together in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for," there are the promises, "the evidence of things not seen." Faith and hope in the promises of God, they go hand in hand. This morning, I'd like to focus on this precious faith, and then in the afternoon, I'd like to focus on the precious promises. So the precious faith this morning, the precious promises this afternoon. Where does Christianity begin? Does it begin with my baptism or church membership? Does it begin with me? Christianity begins first and foremost with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where Peter starts his writing in his epistle. He deals with the thing that has to be first in the Christian life, and that's faith, precious faith. And if there's no faith in Christ, there's no Christianity. You have no Christianity apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Faith in Christ leads to the promise of salvation spoken about in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. If you don't have faith, you cannot be saved. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You have the faith and the promise. If we believe, this word here is called, uses the word call, but it's the same type of active word for faith. If we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. Faith leads to the promise. If you don't have faith, you have no right to the promises. That's the whole problem with the Jews, was that they wanted the promises without the faith. And that's the tragedy of the Jews, I should say, is that they had the promises of God, but they didn't understand them in light of faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes it so tragic when you read the scriptures. And that's what makes it so tragic today, that the Jews are lost because they have no faith in Christ. They have the promises of God, but they don't understand them in light of faith. And yet this is what Peter is beginning his very epistle with. He starts out with the very first fundamental principle of Christianity, faith, precious faith. This verse, Romans 10, verse 13, is actually a verse that Paul quotes in the Old Testament. The prophet Joel echoes the apostle Paul regarding faith and salvation. Listen to the words in Joel chapter 2, verse 32. It's the same as Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So here Paul actually is quoting from an Old Testament passage, Joel chapter 2, verse 32, to show us the primacy of faith when it comes to God. We must have it. We must trust in the Lord before we do anything else when it comes to our walk with the Lord. We must believe in Him. We must trust in Him. What did Paul tell the Philippian jailer to do in Acts chapter 16, verse 31? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You see, there's that faith and that promise that we see occurring over and over again. And Paul and Peter is implementing this in his writing. He's writing something that is not new, something that is always been taught in the scripture. That God, when it comes to understanding God and knowing God, must begin with faith. And the question we have to ask from the outset is, do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Have you trusted in Him as your Savior? Do you have that personal dependence upon the Lord? That you, when you have that day-to-day walk with the Lord, you know and trust in the Lord. He's your guide. He's your strength. He's your forgiveness of sins. He's everything to you. See, you can't go any further in Christianity unless you have faith in Christ. You just can't. That's why Peter starts with precious faith, because you might as well just give up. You know how many people today are in that situation where they call themselves Christians, but they've never trusted in the Lord? They call themselves Christians and they've been brought up in the church, but they don't have a personal relationship with the Savior. They don't have a desire to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that faith principle's never gotten a hold of their hearts. And therefore, they cannot claim the promises of God because they don't trust in the Lord. That's what I'm afraid of today. Is there someone here that you want the promises, you claim the promises, but you're putting the cart before the horse? You've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never called upon the Lord to save you, like Paul said to the Philippian jailer, like Joel says in his writings. That's where we have to start, and that's where we have to search ourselves. Because we're dealing with eternal issues here, my friends. And if we don't know, if we can't say, by God's grace, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ, and my faith is in the Lord, then today's the day where you need to get right with God. You cannot put that off. You cannot say, I'm young and I therefore have all my life before me. I can make that decision whenever. You don't know that. I don't know that. I don't know if I'll have another day. We make plans. We have schedules. We think everything's going to go according to our plan, but it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. There are people today that are waking up and they're going to die today. Did they plan to die today? No. But they're going to die today, and they're going to die without faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the solemnity of it. That's where we as God's people have to just stop where we are and examine ourselves before God and be honest before God and say, Lord, I have to put my trust in You. I want to put my trust in You. I need to put my trust in You. And that's where we have to start. But thanks be to God, there are many here today that have put their trust in Christ. They have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question I want to ask today in the morning is, what makes faith precious? What makes faith precious? That's the question I want to answer this morning. And that's what I want to look at now for the next few minutes that are remaining. What makes faith precious? There are several things that we can find from Scripture that makes faith precious. And the first thing is that faith is precious because it's a gift. It's a gift. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. It's not cheap. It's free. It's something that cost Jesus Christ everything. He cost His life blood. It cost everything for Jesus Christ to die for sinners. But it's a gift. That's exactly what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says. Listen to Paul. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift. Scripture makes it as clear as it can when it comes to why faith is precious. What makes faith precious? It's a gift. It's not something you earn. It's not something that you try to gain by living a certain lifestyle. It's a gift that God gives to you. Now, you may say, some say, well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, what's the gift? Is it grace or is it faith? Does it really matter in the context? It says, not of works, lest any man shall boast. So if you say that grace is the gift of God, faith is my responsibility in that, then I'm responsible. Faith is talking about man does the faith, God gives the grace. I think it's very clear in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, verse 9, that it's a gift from God for both of us, for both of them, grace and faith. God gives it. He gives us the grace and the power to believe and to trust in Him. We would never come to believe in Jesus Christ if left to ourselves. That's why Jesus Christ had to come into the world, because no one would ever believe in God. If people could believe on God themselves, why would Christ have to come? They don't have the power to. They don't have the ability to. That's why we need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christ has to do everything for us, because the scripture says we're dead in trespasses and sins by nature. And it's only by the grace of God that awakens us to our deadness that we see, I must believe. What must I do to be saved? I must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, there's another reason that proves that faith is a gift. Listen, Peter uses a word which was translated in the King James Version as obtained. You notice that in verse 1 it says, Simon Peter, servant, apostle Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. That word obtained means to receive a gift. It means the same word is used in Hebrews chapter 6 and 7. Chapter 6 and 11. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. It was given to him. He received the promise. It's something that is given to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That same word that the author of Hebrews uses is the word that Peter uses here in 1 Peter and 2 Peter chapter 1, obtained. Therefore, faith is a gift. And that's what makes it precious. Whenever you receive a gift, it's something that usually requires a thank you or a note of appreciation, because it's something that you didn't have anything to do with. It was given to you. It's not something that is earned or merited by good works. When someone gives you a gift and they really want to give it to you and they want to lavish that gift upon you, if you refuse that gift, it's an insult to the giver, isn't it? Someone gives you the gift, it may be something that you may not like or something that you may not be interested in. But if you say, I don't want your gift, I don't like your gift, that insults the giver. No, we take that gift, we receive that gift. Well, magnify that infinity when it comes to God giving us this gift of faith. It's something that not only do we learn to want it, but we come to know that we need it. And without God giving it to us, we can't have it. We're helpless and hopeless without it. And that's why Peter starts with this fundamental principle in his writing, precious faith, because it's something that God gives to us. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Faith is precious because it's not of works, but according to the God's plan and purpose in salvation. See, faith is precious to the believer because the believer knows, don't we, that we are undeserving of such a gracious gift. We don't deserve the gift of faith. We acknowledge with Isaiah that we are all as unclean thing and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that called upon the name of the Lord that stirreth him up self to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. That's our true natural state before God. And yet God, through his son Jesus Christ, has given us that gift that is so priceless in forgiving us of our sins, making us children of God. This preciousness is a precious gift because it is a gift. We affirm with Jeremiah that it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. We have to admit that in Romans chapter 9, verse 29, the apostle says, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. We would have gone that way. We would have gone headlong into hell. We would have been destroyed, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, if God hadn't intervened and given us this precious gift of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that as Christians. And that's what makes it so precious, is that we're the least people that should deserve such a gift. And yet it's the people that are the least ones that receive it, because that's why God came. That's why Christ came, to die for sinners. And when we feel our unworthiness, when we feel that this is something that we don't deserve, it even adds more to the preciousness of it, doesn't it? It adds more to the weight of how blessed we truly are, that God would take an interest in the likes of you and me, in my sin, when we were so ugly and vile before the Lord, and yet Christ comes in his love and his salvation and saves us. It's a precious thing, my friend. This is what Peter's talking about. Precious faith. It's a gift. Faith is precious because it's a gracious gift. But where does this gift come from? Well, this leads to my second point. Faith is precious because it's a gift, but it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. God is the giver and the source of faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That word for author could be the originator of our faith, the giver of our faith. Scripture is very clear that faith is precious because God's the giver of it. No man can give us this faith. We can't produce this faith in us. It must come from God, and it does come from God. Thanks be to God. It comes from the Lord himself. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, because he loved the world. We know that verse in John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus, through him, might be saved. Jesus Christ is God's gift to the world. What's the world's attitude towards God's gift? What does the world think of Jesus Christ? What did they do to him during his lifetime? They rejected him. They despised him. Is there anything really different now than back then? John tells us what the world did to him. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, says, Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. What about Israel? What about the people of God, so-called? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The world rejected them. The world knew him not. There's no different today. In our world today, my friends, when it comes to the world's view of God's gift, they reject him. They hate him. They don't need him. They leave me alone. Let me live my own life. Let me live my life the way I want it to be lived. But then the verse goes on to say in John chapter 1, but as many as received him, there's that faith, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Unlike the world, faith is precious to the believer in Christ because the believer knows they are born of God. They know that their salvation comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from them. And therefore, because it comes from the Lord, it gives us assurance. It gives us this confidence in our salvation. Just think, if you had to put your confidence in yourself for salvation, you'd be a most miserable person. What confidence would you have? You'd be doubting, you'd be disappointed, you'd be discouraged, you'd be defeated. Many people today say they're Christians and they live like that. Why? Because they don't recognize and acknowledge the giver of their precious faith, which is God. God gives us this precious faith to live in this sin-cursed world. And not only has he given us this precious faith, he's also given us the Holy Spirit to help us in this world, to put our trust in the Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Another element of why faith is so precious is because the Holy Spirit has given, God's given to us the Holy Spirit. So if you are a Christian today and your trust is in the Lord, the Holy Spirit abides in you. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. The Holy Spirit gives you desires for God. Holy Spirit gives you a desire to read your Bible and to pray and to come to church and to worship the Lord. These desires are not intrinsic in sinners. They come from a work and a gift that God has done in your heart. It's God's work. It's God's gift. It's God's gospel and salvation. When we realize that faith is precious, like Peter is trying to encourage the saints to do, is a gift from God, it should cause us to say with Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." That's Paul's way of saying precious faith. Unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift. Precious gift. God's gift. Different ways to describe the greatness of faith in Christ. Does that truly cause you to say what I have, what I possess is a precious thing? This is what the scripture is designed to encourage you to think about, is that the faith that you have is something that this world cannot give to you. It only can come from God. And therefore, because it comes from God, it's a precious thing. God doesn't give you his wrath. He doesn't give you his judgment. He gives you salvation. He gives you his love. We deserve judgment. We deserve wrath. We deserve punishment. God doesn't do that in Christ to those who believe. He gives them love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. It's a gift that comes from God. So far we've looked at what makes faith precious. It makes faith is precious because it's a gift. It's a gift from God. But thirdly, faith is precious because it's a rare gift. It's rare for those in this world to have faith. You look at a rare painting. You look at a rare antique, a rare historical document. These things increase in value over time because their originals are one of a kind. It's the only one out there. Originals are precious. Copies are worthless. You have an original copy of the Declaration of Independence. It's priceless. It's worth a lot of money. And for good reason. Because it's the original. I remember someone on Facebook showing a picture of a copy of the Declaration of Independence, and the person thought it might be a copy of the Declaration of Independence. And so they did some work and they realized that the copy that she had was just one of millions of copies that other people had that thought the same thing, because it had some earmarks and some similarities to the original, but it wasn't the original. It was a copy. It was a fake. And it was monetarily worthless, had no value in itself. Now carry that over to the spiritual realm. Faith in Jesus Christ is precious because it's rare. Why? Because it's the only way to salvation. It's the only way to know and enjoy God. There's no other way. People try to copy other ways. They try to tell people that there are other ways. But there are many copies of Christ, but there's only one true original. That is Jesus Christ. There are fakes, there are counterfeits out there. Many false gospels, many heresies, many teachings that are close to Christ, but are not Christ, and deceive and lead you astray. But Jesus Christ is very clear when it comes to John chapter 14, verse 6, when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What makes faith so precious is that it's rare and it's only in one person, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not in you. It's not in the world. It's outside this world. It's in Christ. It's in God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." When you look around in the world today, and you look at people and they say they have faith and they claim to have faith, I think a good illustration of the rarity of faith is what Christ says in Matthew chapter 8 when he's talking about the Roman centurion. We all know the story. Remember the Roman centurion? It comes to Christ because his friend's sick. He's in great trouble. He's in great danger. He's fearful that he's going to die. And he goes to the Lord and he asks the Lord to heal his servant. And the Lord says, "Go ahead, take me to him and I'll heal him." And the centurion says, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth." Then listen to what Christ says in verse 10 of Matthew 8. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." What does that say about the spiritual condition of Israel at this time? They have no faith. It was a rare thing. A Roman centurion had to come to Christ and show him what faith was. He couldn't even go to Israel. He couldn't go to God's people, if you will, and see faith demonstrated and exercised in their life. And Jesus Christ is saying that very thing today. Is that if Christ were to say that about you, would you be in that company of Israel? Where is your faith today, my friend? See, what makes faith precious is it's rare. And Christ is saying this man has precious faith. Why? Because it's a rare thing. You don't see it in the world. You don't see it in the earth. Why? Because it's God who gives it. It's God who gets the glory. It's God who gets the praise. And when Christ says it's rare, it's rare. Not only did Christ say that during his earthly ministry, but Christ will say that in his second coming. He will come back for the second time, and he'll say the same thing. Listen to what he says in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Read about the poor spiritual condition on earth at the second coming of Christ. He says this, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" What does that say to you? It says to me that there's going to be a very lack of faith in the earth when Christ comes back. It's going to be a rare thing. Are you going to be on that group when Christ looks at your life and he says, "Can I find faith on the earth?" I mean, search yourself. This makes all of us a little uncomfortable. It makes me have to examine myself. Because these are the words of Christ. These are the teachings of Scripture. And thank God we've got these teachings and Scriptures to help us examine ourselves to see if we really have faith or we don't. See, not many people have this precious gift of faith. Why? Why don't they have this precious faith? Why don't more people just come and hear the Word of God? Why isn't this church full? Why don't people come and flock to hear the Word of God and to say, "You know, I need to hear this. I need to trust in the Lord." Well, the simple fact is that they haven't asked God for it. They didn't ask God to give it to them. Christ says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Have you asked Jesus Christ for anything this week? Have you? I don't know. What did you ask Jesus Christ for this week? What did I ask Jesus Christ for this week? The scripture says, if I ask, I shall receive. If I knock, it will be opened to me. And that's the challenge. It's so simple. The reason why people don't have this precious faith is because they've never asked it. They never asked God for it. And we should be ashamed today. We didn't ask Christ for that this week, did we? Or did we? Examine yourself. The reason why we so much lose out on understanding the preciousness of faith is because we just don't simply ask God. And when God is asked, God will give. When God says, seek me, you will find him. It's simple. And that's what makes it precious, is because when we do that, God reveals himself to us in ways that we never have known before. And that's why people don't have this faith. That's why there's such a poor, bad spiritual condition today in this world, is because people simply don't ask God for faith. And that's where it comes down to. And that's where the challenge is. Sometimes we think we complicate Christianity too much. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that we need to remember the simplicity that there is in Christ. There's a simplicity in Christ. And Christ makes it very clear how we are to obtain this precious faith, is that we just ask for it. God gives it to us. But oftentimes we're so plagued down with our problems, with other people's problems, and we get weighed down with this, and we get weighed down with that, with our responsibilities, with our jobs. Life is life. We all have it. We all have the struggles. We all have the challenges. I am no different than you. But when I read the scripture, when I follow God's word says that if I ask God to give me faith, he will give it. And I believe that. I trust in that. That's my hope. That must be your hope. And that's what Peter's talking about here in 2 Peter chapter 1. That's what makes faith so precious, is that maybe you haven't asked Christ for much, but you can go start asking him now. You don't have to live in the past. You can listen to God's word and be challenged and move forward to exercise those things which God's word tells us to do. And that's what's so great about God's word, and so gracious and so long-suffering that God is. He gives us these opportunities to ask him, even when we maybe have ignored him, haven't asked him as we should. Listen to what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What makes faith precious? It's a gift. It's a gift from God, and it's a rare gift. And if you have this gift, my friend, you have the greatest treasure in the world, and you know it because you possess it. And if you are here and you don't have faith, you're the poorest individual in the world. You have nothing. But if you have Christ, you have everything. And he's precious to you. What makes faith precious? There's one more thing, and with this I'll close. Finally, faith is precious because it's a shared gift. Notice in 2 Peter 2, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice that word like. That word like means that we share something with other people. What do we share? We share faith with the apostles. We share faith with the Old Testament prophets. We share faith with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's a pretty good company to be part of, isn't it? We're part of that group. We're part of that company of people. Like precious faith. Peter didn't come off like he was some lord over the flock of God. He looked at them as his equal. He looked at them as those who share in the same common faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in Titus chapter 1. He talks about a common faith. It's a faith that links us all together. See, that's why we're here today, is because we profess to to have this precious faith, and that's what brings us together week by week. That's what makes our worship a worship of unity and of praise, because we all share in the same common faith, in this precious faith. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." The mutual faith, both of you and me. The Apostle Paul is saying to the believers in Rome that your faith and my faith are the same. We have mutual faith in the same person, in the same gospel. Sometimes, you know, when you, and that's such a mark of humility, a mark of understanding when it comes to the equality among believers, is that you don't have better Christians than other Christians. This idea that some people are saints and other people are just regular Christians is not taught in the scripture. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that you have this like higher level of Christian called saints. And then next underneath them, you have another degree of Christian. And then after that, another degree of Christian. It's no such thing. Paul and Peter say that we have a mutual faith. It's the like precious faith that we share because of our blessed Savior Jesus Christ. When people start having these levels and these degrees, it's pride, it's arrogance, it's the flesh. There's no pride, there's no mentality or attitude to be found in the church. When you read the scriptures, it's all equality in Christ. And in many ways, Paul was so superior than many of the Christians. He knew so much theology and so much doctrine, and yet he didn't treat them like that. He treated each one as equal before the Lord. See, faith is precious because of who we share this faith with. Apostles, prophets, martyrs, everyone who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have that common faith. And that's why we call those who profess that faith as brothers and sisters. There's this family that we come into now. There is this commonality, this equality that comes because of the faith. And so isn't that a precious thing to have brothers and sisters in the Lord who pray for you, who encourage you, who share scripture with you, who worship with you, who encourage you in your walk with the Lord? It's a precious thing, isn't it? We're not lone rangers, my friend. We're not called to just go out and do it ourselves. We have a like precious faith with the prophets, the apostles, the martyrs, and our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Listen to how the author of Hebrews says it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The reason why the author of Hebrews set forth all these Old Testament saints in Hebrews chapter 11 was to let people know that you're part of that company. It wasn't to exclude them. It wasn't to isolate them. It wasn't to say, "Oh, there's no way I can live up to Abraham. There's no way I can live up to Jacob or David or Noah." That wasn't the purpose of the author of Hebrews. He was saying that you belong to that company. You are in that group. This false humility to say, "Well, they're just so much better than me," is really a form of pride. When we truly understand the scripture, when we understand the preciousness of our faith, we're all equal before God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one better. And that's the ugly side of pride of the flesh, where it creeps up in us and we start to view people that way. We start to judge people that way. We start to show this favoritism, which James in his epistle, he says in James chapter 3, it's a sin to have that spirit of favoritism and to look down on people. Why? Because we have like precious faith. It's all one in Christ. The spirit of the shared faith, if you will, comes out so strongly in Ruth when she says to Naomi, listen to these beautiful words of Ruth. It says, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What's Ruth showing to us here? This is spirit of equality. I'm with you now, and you're with me. You can't get rid of me. We're here together. We're united. Well, what united them? It was their faith. It was their mutual faith. It's their like faith in the Lord. Paul says to Philemon in verse 17, it's an epistle that oftentimes maybe we don't read a whole lot of. It's a great verse. I read that epistle this week. There's so much truth in all of God's word. But listen to what Paul says about Philemon in verse 17. His relationship to Philemon. Listen to what he says. If thou count me therefore a partner. Paul calls Philemon a partner in the gospel. He calls him one who is in the same business for the same purpose. And here is the great apostle Paul writing to Philemon. He calls him his partner. And he says in the beginning of the letter to Philemon, he says in verses 1 through 3, listen to Paul. And keep in mind this idea of partner in verse 17. He says this, Paul, this is how he starts out the letter, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that Philemon, you're a partner. You're my fellow laborer. You're my fellow soldier. Why does he say that? Because he knows that one of the things about faith, the preciousness of faith, is that it's like faith. It's something that we share. It's something that we all have a part in. And Paul comes forth that way with that spirit. The same way Ruth came forth with that spirit with Naomi. So we've considered a great subject today. We certainly have. And I have to say that I just scratched the surface when it comes to the subject of precious faith. Do you possess precious faith in Jesus Christ today? And if you do, is it a precious thing to you? Is it something that you look at as the greatest thing you have? And what makes faith precious? It's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a rare gift. It is a shared gift. So I close with the precious words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, his great prayer for the Ephesians. And he says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's a man who understood the preciousness of faith. Just read his prayer, meditate upon his prayer. And that's what his prayer was for all of God's people, to know the preciousness of faith. I think so many of our problems today, so many of our trials are inflicted on ourselves by ourselves because we don't remember the thing that we possess already. These people that Peter was writing to, they had the faith. They just forgot how precious it was. And we need, brethren, to be reminded once again, of what makes faith so precious. And thank God the scripture lets us know. The scripture reminds us. And so therefore, I hope, like Peter's goal was, to encourage the saints in their trials and in their life, I hope that this message has encouraged you as you trust in the Lord and as you walk with him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the teaching of thy word. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity of it, for the simplicity of it, and for the power of it, Lord. We thank you for precious faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's certainly something that we have not earned. It's been given to us by God. And Lord, it is a rare thing. And it doesn't have to be a rare thing. It doesn't have to be that most people don't have it and some people do. It's very simple that someone who is to get it is to just ask for it. And Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that has never asked Jesus Christ for this precious faith, that they might just ask, that they might cry out to the Lord. And if they have asked, Lord, forgive us of how we've neglected to forget. We've forgotten how precious it is, that it is truly a gift from God, and it is something that thrills our hearts and certainly blesses our souls. So, Lord, we ask thee now that thou wilt apply thy word to our hearts, that the Spirit of God might continue to speak to us as I stop speaking, that the word might continue to minister and minister grace to those who have heard it. And for someone on the internet that perhaps has put their trust in Christ but has backslidden or gone away from the Lord and just forgotten how precious faith they have, I pray that this message might bring them back to thank the Lord for his unspeakable gift, and that we all might truly, with one accord, praise and thank God for so great a salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. So bless us now, Lord, and do us good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.